we interrupt this program.
Previously, critics had railed against the duo as crude, dumb, ugly, thoughtless, sexist, self-destructive, and foolish.
They are not part of the legitimate business world.
What they do is they celebrate underachievement.
In all candor, I would tell you it's outrageous filth. And if I could find some way constitutionally to do away with it, I would.
The butter has been delivered!
It has?
800 pounds of closely guarded butter has arrived!
Ba-da!
At your great New York State Fairgrounds!
Ba-da!
Lock it down! Butter sculpture in progress!
I'm trying to think, because I want to say they're like 40 pounds, the butter we would get in at the store, because that's
the
like
blocks.
That's the heaviest thing we would get.
The blocks of 40-pound butter?
You'd get 40 of them, and they're each a pound. So that's
and you'd
math.
Lift a 40. What? Show me what a pound of butter looks like.
Just that, like, you know, the little the four sticks you would get.
Now I know what that is.
So they would.
It's 800 of those. 800 of those.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And they're going to make it into some stupid-ass thing, like a cow in a balloon or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What would the... I don't know what the theme would
know.
Be.
Love. What would this year's... No, what would encapsulate this year in butter?
They don't ever really do that. Now that I'm trying to think of, like, a theme for the year.
Because we always do this, and it's always, like, cow in a balloon.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Kids in overalls painting house while mom does dishes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought we'd be something topical. Okay, no, you're right. Yep.
Well,
it should be mooncats, Lonnie. Right? You're exactly right. Should be mooncats.
Horse and buggy.
Uh-huh. It's never what you expect. It's never what you can expect.
No.
But the butter is on site. All right?
Just be ears of corn. Walk by and get yourself some.
Or just leave it the frickin' block. Do all this. Do 8 days of hype and then open the curtains and it's a big 800-pound block
dairy.
Of data center.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
Boom, data center.
That's how fun those are.
How's that?
There you go.
I want to see an 800-pound butter data center.
Yep.
It's just a square. It's a data center.
Well, no. Oh. We'll see what you got to do is you have to put a curtain around the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, not just the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when you drop the curtain, it's just the data center there with the butter. You got rid of everything else because we had to make room for it.
Yeah, we had to make room for it.
So that whole cage, gone. Where they put it, gone. Sorry. The benches around it, gone.
And if you go to get a cup of milk from the milk bar, it tastes different now because the data center had affected the milk.
They had to use a lot of the water.
Tastes like this cow got into an onion patch. Tastes like this cow got into a data center.
You
got to
do a data center.
Yeah, that's my pitch.
Yep.
Don't do anything with the block, 800-pound block of butter.
Yep.
You just leave it, say it's a data center. Done.
I even kind of like just leaving them in the little thing they come in.
Don't even take them out.
Yeah, just leave it. It'd be easier to get rid of after. Here you go.
Run really loud fans so it's extremely loud in there.
There. Have water just trickling away.
Make it an accurate butter data center, all right? It's right in the middle of the dairy building. All of the booths around it are extremely devalued now. Like, they have no value. Well,
the data center bought them out.
Data center bought out all the booths.
Turned them into parking lots.
So our butter data center buys out all of the other stands, so you're not going to get the hot beef sundae.
Nope.
You're not getting ice cream cones. Data center bought them out.
Yep. Yep.
Butter data center bought it out.
There's a roundabout in the middle of it.
Big roundabout right there. Uh-huh. Only thing you can buy is cigarettes in there now. You can buy...
Sorry.
Which are back, we learned. So cigarettes are back.
Right.
That'll be good.
The milk's now like $4.
Yeah, I went in the dairy building, and I guess this year, the butter sculpture is a data center, and the milk was $100, and I could only get cigarettes.
Now I'm on a website.
feel like someone's tracing me. Well, yeah.
I feel like my license plate was scanned.
Oh, every entrance is several flock cameras. There's like three flock cameras, and then the data center's in the middle.
Yep.
And it's loud, and it's hot.
Oh, it's very hot
so
in there.
So hot in there.
Sorry. We're sorry.
Lottie, yes, we talked about it at the end of yesterday's show, Lottie and chat.
Get a heater, bro.
Cigarettes are back, dude. I don't know what happened. You were ahead of the curve, dude.
I can't.
I'm not looking to smoke cigarettes, but I'm just saying, like...
Sometimes
you... Good for the tobacco. Congratulations, tobacco industry.
Good for Philip Morris.
Finally. Somebody finally, they're getting their comeuppance.
We had been thinking about the billionaires
for
a while.
We had it. Good for you, Marlboro.
I just don't... I don't know how people do it when it's hot. Sometimes
I don't
when it's
either,
hot,
man.
When I start like a joint or a pre-roll,
same.
I'm like... Oh, man. Oh, it's so hot out here.
Same. Like, if I'm sitting by the fire pit and I try to smoke something, it's like a hot night. I'm like, oh, why am I doing hot inside and outside?
Makes the back of your neck warm.
Why am I heating all of the parts of me? I don't want to do that.
No, thank you.
Congratulations. I mean, that means we can start saving up those Marb miles again. Camel cash.
Oh, like those cool jackets and stuff.
Get some sleeping bags. Pool table.
Yes.
Save up for that Marlboro pool table.
I'll get it.
I saw an old photo of the old Bills stadium. Their old scoreboard, the biggest part of it was Marlboro.
Really?
I didn't know that. I mean, that's how it used to be back in the 90s.
That's great.
80s mostly. Anyways, happy Tuesday, everybody. We are here. We are live. This is the show.
Monday.
It is not Monday. Mm-mm. Whatever I did to get rest for yesterday's show, I failed for today's show.
I can't even...
I blew it.
Same. I'm so mad.
I blew it.
Same. I'm so angry.
Monday morning, Sunday into Monday, I got great sleep. Last night, I went to bed late, and then I woke up at... I've been up since 2 in the morning. I woke up at 2 a.m.
Basically the same. Elsa decided from 11 to 2 to just be I don't know what the worst age is when you have a kid. 2-year-old that's running around.
Sure.
It's supposed to be bedtime.
Terrible twos.
Jumping up and down off the goddamn bed. Barking at nothing outside. Scratching at the door. Doing that thing on the carpet where they're just like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, what? Are you doing? Made me take her out. I didn't have to take her outside, but I had to go open the door at whatever in the morning.
Sure.
It's like, are you kidding me?
And then do you get that mad feeling when it's like you're awake and now I can't fall back asleep?
Not.
And I just lay there and I'm angry about it.
I envisioned her jumping up on the bed one more time and me double foot
shoving her,
donkey kicking her right up back off the bat. Obviously, I wouldn't, but.
No, I get those temptations.
And then what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Is open the door because I'm at the Debbie's Doobie Dungeon Pals for one last summer adventure. So I opened the door. I was like, fine, everyone, I don't give a F what y'all do.
Yeah.
Go out, like just to the bedroom. So I close it because you know the ghosts.
Just
because,
because you know the ghosts.
So I get up finally at, you know, whatever, early because they started to rustle them. And I was like, fine, forget it. It's 15 minutes before my alarm. I don't even care.
Yeah.
I hate you all right now.
Yeah.
So I go, I get in the shower, I get out of the shower, I come back to sit, and I had my, because it was a little early now, I had like 20 minutes to just sit there and either stare at nothing or just watch a 20-minute cartoon, whatever. Just flip on the light real quick to kind of get the fans going for everything for the day for them and all that. One of them, and I know which one, pooed all over the living room and peed on their bedding. So I had to get the bedding outside, and I'm on my hands and knees, and I'm scrubbing.
Yeah. All right.
Like,
we're coming in hot today is what we're saying.
Someone's going to get donkey kicked.
Someone's getting donkey kicked. We're coming in hot. Yesterday, great show. Today, we did not sleep well. So, you know, what are you going to do?
That's making me more fun.
Making it more fun. We'll do a high strangeness.
Ooh.
Haven't done that in a little bit.
Nice.
Lots to get to. It is a Tuesday, 7:30. We got more of those Robbie Zombie and Marilyn Manson tickets. Keep it live.
100.9, 106.5 K-Rock.
Electricity is more than a source of energy. At its best, electricity is a rush, a thrill. A feeling. From hybrids to plug-in hybrids to the all-electric Lexus RZ, this is our take on electric. One that puts what you need, what makes you feel confident, inspired, excited, above all else. After all, if it doesn't spark something in you, is it really electric? See Burdick Lexus in Cicero.
We really have not done much or any fishing since our fishing derby, bud.
No,
I mean, really, think about it.
I did little bits here or there, but like the usual spots where I would like stop on the side of the road
mm-hmm.
and throw in. they were all like swamped up and
all
stuff
the
like
algae
that.
Blooms and stuff.
Yes, but also I did not do nearly any fishing
because we were just talking
like last year. It's crazy.
We were just talking in the stream, the show.fm or twitch.tv/the show about that kid in Beaville while we were off caught that big ass sturgeon, like the
That's
biggest
wild.
Fish I've ever seen.
That's crazy.
Like I honestly, if I ever caught a fish that big, I don't think I could sleep again. I would just keep seeing that in my dreams.
Yeah. No, I,
it's
that's
terrifying.
That's how I feel about the.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying.
The people that catch like those muskies out at Atisco where they're like this big, and you see them sitting in a rowboat type deal. You know what I mean? Those little ones with the little motors on the back there, and I'm like, so you were battling like a sea creature in a rowboat.
The kid in Beeville said his reel was on fire. Obviously,
oh,
metaphorically,
I bet.
But it's
oh,
like.
I bet.
At
Can't
what
imagine.
Point? I know you well enough to know that at some point that thing's tugging so hard, you're just like, I don't want to know what's on this.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
I'm like, all right.
You know what? We're out of here.
You
I don't want to know what is coming at
ahead.
Me.
Sorry about all that. I'm sorry about all that.
That's my bad. That's my bad.
Because I don't know anything about those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they jump or whatever, so you just don't know until it's like there, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, dude. Eventually, it gets close enough to the surface, you're like,
there's
oh,
a
I
dinosaur.
Caught
yeah.
a dinosaur. I caught a dinosaur. That's my fault, bud. Let me just cut that out there.
Oh,
you go ahead and...
That's my bad. There's a pterodactyl. I got a water pterodactyl on the line
and,
here.
Go ahead and you go ahead and let that one go there, bud. All right, you have a good one there.
Because they are literal, like, old-timey, I don't know, dinosaur time, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
Before us.
They were doing that when we were down on the pier. Like, all the places we visited had piers, you know, like Seattle and San Fran and all that. Well, I guess not Seattle, but, like, San Fran did and all that. And they're all doing these fishing charters. Like
oh,
all
man.
These boats.
That's
so you would just be walking and seeing these people coming back from morning fishing or whatever with these huge fish.
Just giant ones. You have them like, what is that?
Ocean fish.
But yeah, like, what is that?
Yeah.
And they grow so big.
And then in Seattle, they do that Pike's Market where they throw the fish at each other.
Yep.
Yelling.
Where they also got big ass fish.
Big ass fish out there, man. Everything's got a pier and they're all fishing.
Did anybody bring back a shark like Jaws?
No, what did I see? Did I see anything? No, there was one point. Kids are the worst.
No, yeah.
Not my kids, but kids are the worst. Because we're on the ferry from land out to Alcatraz. We're going out to Alcatraz.
About time. Took him to jail.
Took him to jail. Lock him up. I'm going to redo Alcatraz. And we're coming back from Alcatraz. And just some like 8-year-old goes, it's a whale. It wasn't a whale. But like then 30
people
jump off and
flying
run.
Over. What was it? A rock?
It was really nothing. But everybody was taking the word of a child that there was a whale. So now
taking pictures of nothing.
And I, of course, because my wife's dream is to see a whale. We have tried many times in our lives to see whales.
Yeah.
She's never seen one. So I go, there's a whale. So I'm yelling to her that there might be a whale.
Oh, no,
look at Of course, she's like, why are you yelling? There's a whale. There are the kids in the whale.
Where do you see whales? Where are you supposed to go?
Well, up there. Pacific
oh, really?
Northwest should have them. They kept saying, like, hey, yeah, sometimes.
Is it just the
I think
wrong
we're a little
time
early.
Of year? Okay.
Like in the fall time, they come up there.
Gotcha.
When we went to Alaska, you know that story, right?
Yes.
Honeymoon. So 19 years ago.
Yeah.
On our honeymoon. Her dream is to see a whale.
Yep.
And we're on one side of the cruise ship.
Oh.
And I'm chilling on the one side of the cruise ship.
Yep.
And she says, why don't we go to the other side of the cruise ship, see if we can see some whales? And I go, I'm comfortable here. I don't want to go. I mean, this is our honeymoon.
Yeah.
That night at dinner, everybody on the other side of the boat was saying, we saw all those whales today. So okay. I'm still haunted by
that. So
that
was it. Day one,
day
basically.
Day one, she's checked out on
is,
me, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, day one, she's had enough of me, and I can't blame her.
Is the, Ryan's house fish funnery gonna have a whale?
Oh, we can put a whale Free Willy in there.
We're gonna put like a Free Willy gate on part of the inner harbor,
uh-huh,
so it can have that whole toilet bowl to swim around in there, and then that's fine.
So we hope to see one. This last trip didn't. I know you can go to Maine and see whales too. We've never been to Maine. That's one state we haven't been to. Are you all calling me a whale in chat? Sister says, haven't you done a couples tank and aqua spa? Because I'm a whale. Donkey says her dream is to see a whale, so just Josh gets naked and jumps on the bed.
Real nice.
Are you all calling me a whale?
Real nice.
No, she wants to see a real whale, and we will, maybe.
Is there, like, like an orca or one of them big, like,
I don't know,
like goofy ones with the weird faces.
I think any whale will do ya.
Okay. All right.
I know Maine's a good spot to see it. Alaska was a good spot. I screwed that up. Pacific Northwest, they were saying, like, yeah, more in the fall they come closer to the shore.
Stupid whales.
It's the essential quest. It's the everlasting quest to see a whale.
Someday.
Like, there's this article, and I guess I'm not shocked that this article says McDonald's has pages of data on their loyal customers. And I use their app, and I understand that they probably have a lot of my data and my order history.
Okay.
And I'm consenting to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, for the most part. Because, like, I cater my ads and stuff. Like, I'm one of those guys that I'm like, no, this does not work for me. Why did you like this? This is not an ad I care to see.
You give feedback to the ads. You're like, I don't care about this product.
Because they're going to be there.
Uh-huh.
So it might as well be stuff that I want to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, if you're collecting my data under my consent,
yeah,
I'm fine with it. Putting up stupid flock cams to track me around, I ain't fine with that.
That's ridiculous.
But I'm telling McDonald's.
Or something else.
Telling McDonald's, I like a spicy McChicken. I like a 20-piece nugget. So when I come back to you, you serve me the information.
And you tend to get some coupons and stuff in your email of, hey, thanks for blah, blah, blah. Here's a blah, 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 blah.
I guess a guy in California, Reese Rogers, requested his data through the McDonald's Privacy Rights Center. Didn't even know that was a thing.
Okay.
But you can.
Okay.
Received a file, 515 pages. The document contained his past orders, his loyalty points, Monopoly sweepstake codes he has used.
What?
But that's all stuff that I get it.
But it's just
that's
crazy.
That's shocking to me.
I'm just more shocked that they save all of that.
Like
that's nuts. Like, delete some files.
And then what? Are they selling that information to, like...
Oh, I wonder.
Am I a fatty, Mark? Does McDonald's know I'm going to eat?
I wonder if they then sell that to...
just a Mark.
Like,
we
got
a big fatty here, guys. Come here.
Hey, this
Come
guy's here. Got 10,000 pages. You
Hey, KFC, you want to see this guy's order? Hey.
They roll up... They
Taco
roll
Bell, you want this guy.
They roll up to a Taco Bell meeting with that, and they just start flipping the pages.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That could be yours.
Speaking of whales, I'm a white whale for them. I'm a big drive-through white whale.
That could be all yours, Taco Bell, for a price. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, you can request.
You can access it?
Yeah.
To see what you know about me?
Yeah.
I mean, data is the new currency, and I get that, but with my fast food apps, which we've talked about extensively on this show, I'm fine with them knowing my order history, how many points I got. I'm ashamed at how many points I got. It's nothing I like to brag about, even though I have on this show.
Right. But still.
But they don't know my mother's maiden name. They don't know the street I grew up on.
Or,
mm-hmm.
depending on passwords.
Maybe they do.
Do they?
I don't use those things for passwords.
No, just, I mean, I'm saying because you have to sign in to the app.
Mm-hmm.
So they at least, I would imagine, know that password.
Now you want the conspiratorial side of this? Or what I think that this could lead to? In my theory of seeing how technology and data has worked up to now, McDonald's going to see your boy as, say, double cheeseburger Mark.
Mm.
They know what I like.
Hell yeah.
So you, what do you order at McDonald's?
That, yeah, that.
Okay, so we got to find something different.
I'm a McDouble guy. Is that, that's technically different.
It is different.
Okay.
So let's say.
Crispy chicken sandwich.
All right, you're a crispy chicken sandwich
Crispy chicken sandwich.
And I'm a McDouble guy.
Yep.
What I think they'll probably start doing, you got to keep an eye on this. I pull up to McDonald's and I'm going to get a McDouble. It's $2.99. You pull up right behind me and it's $1.99 because they know that's what I want.
That would be screwed up.
We're already seeing this happen in certain stores that I won't name.
Really?
Where, like, certain times a day, the sunscreen's going to be a little more expensive. That's where I'm not cool with it.
Interesting.
And then I pull up, and my Crispy McChicken is $2.99, and Cody's is $4.99, because they know Cody's a mark for that, the surge pricing. That's where I think the data could go sideways.
I've seen...
Just stay aware. Keep aware of it.
I've seen that at a certain store that I go to, where one is in East Syracuse, but the other is all the way out in the different side of, like, that Fairmount Camillus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when I go to that one and I'm like,
why are you more, why are you little more expensive than over here?
Listen, as consumers, you got to keep an eye on that stuff. Corporations are looking to steal from us every time.
They don't care.
So if you notice stuff like that, you know, as for now, I think we still have the Better Business Bureau, right? Call it in. And Lottie is right. Lottie is right. Who am I kidding? I'm a triple cheeseburger boy. You know that about me, man.
Get that triple burger.
You know I'm getting that triple burger. I'm getting two of them. I'm getting six patties.
Do they? Oh, my God.
Do they call the police on you? Yes, they do.
No, I was going to ask the cheese situation. For it, is it a? Is it a?
I'm eating so fast, I don't even know, bud.
I was gonna say, do they do a?
It's a big wad of meat and
a
bun.
Slice of patty. Ugh,
it's so much food. It's so much food, man.
Six patties.
I hate myself when I order a triple cheeseburger at McDonald's.
I
love it. Love it. Lottie just discovered the TCB a few days ago. He said,
"No,
it's in there." Even McDonald's is a little ashamed of it.
Yes.
They hide it in the app.
It's in the, like,
you scroll for a minute. Yeah.
You click, you have to click view more, and then there's, like, the crispy chicken strip four piece or whatever the hell, and triple cheeseburger.
Like, you know how when you Google certain things, Google automatically gives you the suicide prevention line? Just be like, hey, man, if you want to call anybody, when you're on McDonald's and you start looking for the triple cheeseburger, it's like, hey, bud.
Ad pops up. You okay?
Hey, bud.
Do you need to call someone?
Have you thought about a salad or...
Huh? It adds it. It. No matter what you do,
it adds
you
a statin add the to your cart.
You add the triple cheeseburger, well, the double triple cheeseburgers, and it adds a salad to your order automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, delete.
Or you
salad. Added.
I go in there.
What the hell?
Okay. I pull up to the drive-thru. I give them my number. All right. And I get my... They hand me the bag, and they go, Tuesday, 8:30. And I go, huh? And they go, Tuesday, 8:30. I go, what's Tuesday at 8:30? Oh, we've booked your cardiologist appointment. It's mandatory. If you order two TCBs, we have to legally...
We have to book
so
you.
Tuesday, 8:30
that
is
way
your
we are now...
We're
evolved.
No longer... Like, we bitch a lot about how you can't find movies, or when you do find a movie, it goes away. I'm sure you're sick of us bitching about it. It's our biggest boomer take.
It's just, there's so many just going away. I watched movies the second half of vacation. Mm-hmm. I tried to just watch at least a movie a day,
mm-hmm.
and there's just so many leaving soon, or just, oh no, we're not streaming this anywhere. Like,
or I would be doing a thing, either usually I'm texting with you, or I'm texting with Cousin Jay, and I would be like, oh, I want to watch that. It was something you sent me. So I type it in to Google, and it's like, here's where it is. And then you click the thing, and it goes, we can remind you when it shows up, but I'm not here right now.
Or, like, how quick...
Joe says it's P-A-R-T-Y. Why? Because I got it.
The mask. Yep. All right, cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh.
That's a good movie. Or, like, that disclosure day was on sale for, like, 2 days.
On sale?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You can watch it at home.
Oh, I forgot that was a new movie.
You can watch all those. They have a bunch at home. As soon as they come out.
I want to watch Obsession again.
That's on. That's. I think that's free.
I think that's out now.
I think that's free.
I'd like to watch that again. I enjoyed that movie.
But like it was because I went, was at one place for a few days. And I remember looking and being like, oh, you got to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember being at the Doobie Dungeon and seeing, had one of those little like. That yellow marks or whatever next to it. And I was like, oh, does that mean it's free? And it wasn't, but it was on sale.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, nice. I went home like a day later.
Yeah.
I was like, you did like a 1 day sale?
Nah, my oldest is a genius. They're going around, like I said, we go thrifting all the time.
Yeah.
And they're currently building in their room like a whole shelf for all their physical media.
I always
look. They're buying up all the DVDs. Cody gave a bunch of DVDs. That was awesome.
Nice. I try to look when I'm out at for... DVD racks, but a couple
pretty extensive DVD collection in my house right now.
I think the problem is that those DVD racks were like, I have a couple that I use, but they're multi-purpose. And the ones that I've seen, they were in like bad condition.
No, we're good on DVD racks.
Okay,
Grandpa right now is building them like a whole
nice
in Grandpa's wood shop, building a whole like DVD case.
But that works way better.
But I bring that up because you know how like in cute little towns or whatever they got those. free library stands.
I use them all,
like,
the time.
You do?
All the time.
Take a book, leave a book, that kind of thing?
All the time.
I love that. Read a book. Educate yourself. It doesn't hurt.
Nope.
Well, now we're seeing little free libraries pop up, or what they're calling little free blockbusters, where instead of books, it's DVDs, Blu-rays.
That's a good idea.
People borrowing and taking or whatever. Now, if you're very nerdy, I would encourage you all to do this. Get some kind of home server or some kind of home storage and just start ripping these DVDs when you find them. Go to your library. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Cody, you know what I'm saying?
No.
So basically, if you got a little, and even you could figure this out.
I do, but I, because it's got to be, you mean like just burn it like a CD like we used to?
Correct, but you can just rip it onto a hard drive. Now, you need a lot of storage.
Yeah.
Plex server or whatever they would call it.
Okay.
But I'm saying, we're kind of in this gray area right now where they're taking away all of our physical media. So, but the physical media is still out there. Like, in 10 years, you're not going to find any physical media. So, like, go to your library, get a bunch, rip it, save it,
yep,
have it.
Yep.
The free blockbusters are popping up all over. People are even painting them in that blue and yellow design.
I like that.
Dozens of them are popping up around the U.S. You can go to the website freeblockbuster.org, and you can even start your own if you want to put a little thing out. FCC's entered the chat. Shut up, Joe.
That's cool.
That thing all the DVD, all the movies would say? FBI, you'll be arrested by the FBI.
$275,000 if you copy this.
Cash Patel's too drunk to know what I'm doing.
He don't know what's going on. He doesn't know what the movie is.
You can buy, like, you remember these, the old, like, newspaper dispensers?
Yeah.
You can buy those online now. People That's will paint cool. them for you.
I found a couple gems as far as books go and those things, so I bet you could come across some good movies for these. This is a good idea. I think people would trash it where I am, or else I would absolutely do that.
People are getting real creative. If you just go to freeblockbuster.org, you can see all the photos of people making their own little mini blockbusters. It's really fun.
I do like to see that as well. Everyone's got their own little...
They get creative.
Yep. They're neat. Although...
I'm going to be the first guy.
Oh, no.
I'm going to do the adult one, where it's like, I'm going to make a little stand by the road, but it's got those cowboy doors. It's going to say 18 plus on it. Hey, some guy up in Oswego County.
Whoa.
I see what he was trying to do, but he's just giving out, like, old 90s pornos in this. Huh?
What?
That's just my free library. Help yourself.
Hey.
Take one, leave one. Hey, I want to know your taste. You know, man.
There's, like, one DVD.
It's really weird, and he's got those cowboy doors on it.
Do you ever come across any of, I don't know if you ever had any what? Of your old porn?
Because
now you
any.
Don't need it. And I'm like, you never had
I've
any?
Never owned a single porno in my entire life.
Every once in a while, because you had to hide it. I don't know why you had to hide it, but you had to hide it. So every once in a while, I come across, and I'll be like, oh my God.
No, I had no need. I was getting sex regularly. I had no need for pornography, yes, as a teenager. Like, no, I never, is that weird? I never owned any kind of...
I don't think it's weird, but I bet you're in a slight minority.
I've never owned, I'm trying to think, like, maybe I had a nudie mag at some point.
Yep, those I have a couple of those saved because I don't know. Like, I have some of the Playboys. Like, I've got, like... the China Playboy.
Sure.
And a couple of the ones where I'm like, are those worth anything?
Sure.
They're not. And I'm starting to get to that age where I'm like, I don't want my whoever is left after I go to have to throw this away.
Go through this.
So I've just started throwing away things. Even if I'm like, it could be worth, nope, goodbye.
I mean, I think of it. I came up in an era where I could... It was difficult to get nudie stuff on the internet in the late 90s, but it could be done.
That's why I think when you got it, you saved it.
Yeah. And even then, I never saved anything on my computer.
No. I had a couple, like...
There were the guys in college that had hard drives full of stuff, and I was like, whoa, all right, bud.
I had a couple DVDs, but like the ripped ones, but not pornos or magazines. That's like... That's at home at your mommy and daddy's house stuff. That's where you touch your wiener to that stuff.
That's not out of the house, wiener touching.
Yeah.
Bowen said, I used to deliver newspapers, and one morning a guy left out 12 Playboys wrapped in the recycling bin. It was like Christmas morning.
Yep, that'd be it.
I've told you the story. We found the one Playboy in the laundry room of the apartment we lived in.
And then
that was groundbreaking.
And then from there on, you're like the dog that found half a cheeseburger on its walk sometime. You always go back to that location,
oh, dude,
no matter what.
It's weird that it was probably, I mean, we lived in the apartments in late 80s on Park Street. So you could say 38 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
I still have a Pavlovian response to basement smells because that's where I saw my first boob.
Like, what?
Yeah. In the basement of the apartment where we found, I can, that smell.
He still goes back there
like,
today.
What is it? Yeah. Nudie magazine day.
Once a week, he goes and just checks just to see if somebody is saying maybe they're leaving something for you.
I like to go whenever I pick up my kids from school. I go over to the Park Street apartments and go, guys,
hey,
there was a porno mag in here once.
Hey,
just letting you guys know.
Guys, see that right there, that
Who
door?
Who is he?
You go down those into that basement. It's where your dad saw his first boob.
I'm the guy that runs the give one, leave one porno box out on the corner there. Saw my first nudie mag right there.
What do you think about that?
Ooh, haven't had a high strangeness in a little while.
All right, I'm ready.
Now, I'm glad you're puffing a little bit, because this high strangeness has the potential for a geek moment for you where you're going to start geeking out. Because this one is almost more silly than creepy.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you the story anyways. For those of you new to the show on K-Rock, welcome. Happy to have you. All of our links are available.
Hello. I missed you.
At theshow.fm. Welcome to Costco. I love you. We do a segment on Tuesdays at 7 a.m. called High Strangeness. We dig into the cryptids, the unexplained, the eerie, ghosty stuff sometimes. Ooh. I might even start getting into like unexplained like murders and missing people because I got a lot of those too.
No, I agree. You It's high strangeness, if
it's
you will.
It's strange, yeah.
Guy had a bucket. Okay.
Did they find a new friend?
Yeah.
So I figured, all right, I was just up in Oregon in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, I bet there's...
What did I come close to? What did I barely miss?
What was watching you from
Sasquatch
the woods?
Sasquatch is big up there.
I bet.
But they have a few other ones. They have some water cryptids and whatnot.
If you move there, does like when you get your new license plate to your car, does it come with the Sasquatch?
The sticker that goes on the mirror? Yeah, on the glass? Yeah.
Yeah.
Legally, to register your vehicle, it has to have a Sasquatch or a pine tree of some kind.
That's the registration sticker is Sasquatch.
So I'm not going to talk Sasquatch. I'm going to get the artist rendition out of the way first. I don't want you drinking when you see this. Cody, today I'm going to tell you the story of the Gumbaroo. Okay? It's ridiculous, but it is a cryptid, and they have stories about it.
All right.
The Gumbaroo is a legendary, fearsome critter from the Pacific Northwest. It travels between Northern California and Oregon. It is a large, hairless, bear-like beast with a rubbery black hide that deflects bullets. Now, if you want to jump in twitch.tv/theshow or youtube.com/krockcny or just go to theshow.fm, I want to get the artist rendition out of the way first, because when this pops up, it's going to derail everything.
Because I'm picturing...
You're not picturing what I'm about to show you.
Something that's like Batman, but not...
No. You're not picturing what's about to pop up on your screen. Cody, that's the Gumbaroo. Close this.
See, look how awesome his beard looks. He's got the gray beard and he looks like a...
He does. He's got a gray beard. He's smiling.
He looks like an upset hippo.
For those of you just listening to the podcast, it is a hippo with like a weird Amish beard. Humanish teeth, maybe?
It's like Cheshire cat.
Yeah.
Mouth.
Yeah, he has 1,000 teeth.
What's Gumbaroo?
It's the Gumbaroo.
The Gumbaroo's got lots of teeth for you.
So let's learn the story of the Gumbaroo. Now that the artist rendition is out of the way.
I like his Amish beard.
We're going to go to Cryptids Across the Atlas, this YouTube channel, for this description of the Pacific Northwest's Gumbaroo.
the gumbaroo, scientifically known as the Megalogaster repercussus, is often described as a giant bear with tough, shiny black hide, complete with bristly hairs on his chin and big eyebrows.
Yeah.
Many refer to this iron bear as resembling a walking football that can kill a man with one swipe of its paw. Many even believe that the gumbaroo has a large appetite and can eat an entire horse in one sitting. However, others depict this cryptid as slow-moving like a sloth. And
so where does the, like, how did this start? Is probably what you're asking. In the turn of the century, like late 1800s, early 1900s, they're logging the hell out of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And they're up late one night. These loggers are drinking. It always starts with booze. They're drinking. Usually. It's like 2 in the morning, and this is part of the story of the gumbaroo. It only comes out at night, and it very rarely comes out of its hollowed-out tree. They're hammered. They hear a big rustle in the woods. The ground starts shaking. They see what looks like, you said, the Cheshire Cat with a big white beard.
Yeah.
Or as a survivor in chat is saying, looks like that animal from Where the Wild Things Are.
It does look like
that. Kind of looks like that.
Yes, it does.
They see it, they shoot guns at it.
Oh.
It's the story of the gumbaroo where it starts.
Okay.
It's actually quite harmless and only comes out at night.
Think of old grandpa bear.
Which might explain why the initial loggers never saw this cryptid until their last night on the job. But I'm sure if you could ask them, the gumbaroo's roar was terribly frightening nonetheless. What's wild is that while the gumbaroo may not be exactly the most popular cryptid, it was largely discussed in the early 20th century, and not just by lumberjacks and the men of the woods. It was actually featured in plenty of books, including Fearsome Creatures of the Lumberwoods, with a few desert and mountain beasts by William Thomas Cox in 1910, or Fearsome Critters by Henry H. Tyron in 1939,
another one, you know,
or even The Hunter, the Tick, and the Gumbaroo by George Mendoza in 1971.
Of course.
Many of these authors often describe the gumbaroo in a similar fashion. According to William Cox, his depiction of the gumbaroo includes, in size, the beast corresponds closely to a black bear, for which it might be mistaken, only for the fact that the gumbaroo is almost hairless. To be sure, it has prominent eyebrows and some long bristly hairs on its chin.
Yeah, so it does have real big eyebrows. It's got like those Eugene Levy eyebrows.
Yeah,
he's got those.
Oh, boy.
And then, yeah, the dude who's doing the video does look a lot like the gumbaroo. They've got very similar...
Yeah, that's one of those where...
You've got similar looks.
Where it's like, well, let's shave off that beard and see what your face shape looks like.
I know, bud. Listen, I know. I know. These are my people, though. I can't hate on them. We all look a little sideways. He's got old man eyebrows. Yeah, the gumbaroo has old man eyebrows.
The gumbaroo.
But for some reason, hair only grows on its chin and eyebrows.
It's just... It looks like it was probably a bear that had mange.
Yeah.
They're up in the Pacific Northwest, so I'm sure. And
it's a huge bear.
Yeah. And they're already drunk. Gumbaroo.
But the body is smooth, tough, and shiny.
I don't know what that is, by the way. His reaction is to this photo.
That's a bear with mange.
I don't know if that's a... Yeah. They throw this video, this photo in the video, and I think that is right. That's a bear with mange, or
that
it's like
one
an
is.
AI thing. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But that could be the gumbaroo that they thought they said. Kid, don't love that.
Bears not even a wrinkle. William also shares that the gumbaroo, though sparse, is a cryptid that has been seen all along the Pacific coast from Gray's Harbor in Washington to Humboldt Bay in Northern California. The gumbaroo is also said to make their dens in the bases of huge, burned-out cedar trees, spending most of its time in a state of hibernation, only leaving its lair a few times a year to search for food. And according to Henry Tyron, who has quite possibly the most extensive description of all, and I quote, "The gumbaroo has a pot-bellied body, almost like that of a bunkhouse stove, even to the umbilical damper, and covered with very tight, tough, black, shiny skin."
So he's saying has a big belly.
Is an umbilical damper your wiener?
No, I think the umbilical damper, isn't that where your belly button would be an outie but an innie?
I don't even know.
Somebody in chat tell us what that is. I don't know what the umbilical damper
is. I feel like that's a good insult to throw at somebody.
But then what I don't like, where they start to add things, and he's going to say this in the next part of the clip, they think it has, like, outside legs, and then also inside legs, if that makes sense.
Like out my inside and outside shoes.
No. Like, imagine you have legs and arms, but then on your chest, two extra legs, belly, two extra legs.
Oh, for scampering around on the ground?
Yeah, that's how they climb the trees, they say. And then you start to lose me on that. You start to lose me on that.
A pair of long, powerful, monkey-like forearms and a little round head and no neck. His head sets right down on his shoulders like a hop toad in a cool spot. He's got three bowed rear legs, each with a clawed foot, clutching an iron ball, the same as an iron stove. There's no speed in these rear legs, but they're handy for wading dumps, his words. For real travel, he's got...
I don't know.
Wading dumps?
That could have meant a thing back in the 1900s.
Like
I don't know.
Like sitting back so you could take a dump? Like so you can sit back
Katie says she looked it up. An umbilical damper most prominently refers to a fictional and anatomical feature of the gumper. Guys,
okay.
you can't use the phrase of the word you're trying to define in the definition, guys.
Ah, damn it.
Okay.
Damn it.
Let's go back to our books.
Eight pairs of strong, springy legs set around his middle. He's plenty rapid on these. He'll go to a hilltop by swinging from branch to branch with his four legs, then toss himself out a rod or two, landing sideways on the middle legs and rolling over and down the hill, moving faster than the eye can see. That's why he's so rarely observed. The hides from those middle legs used to make pretty fine waterproof boots, but they're scarce now.
So that's the Gumbaroo. I know that one's kind of silly. But I wanted to find something I didn't know about in the Pacific Northwest.
I've never heard of the... But I can't stop saying it like Cajun style. Gumbaroo.
You could have had me at big hairless creature that runs through the woods bigger than a bear.
You didn't need the last part of...
You didn't need to throw that
of
in.
Of legs like a spider.
Like, I feel like that's...
It's not spider bear.
Yeah, a lot of cryptid stories, they start with maybe something I'd buy into, and then everybody's got to add a little bit more as the story goes.
And they're like,
And then it had... Guys, the one I saw, spider inside legs.
And they don't want to discredit anybody.
They're like,
I saw those.
I did see.
I saw the spider legs of the bear.
That's when they start to go sideways with their cryptids. I'm like, guys.
That's how it lands when it jumps out of the tree sideways and then it rolls down the hill. You just can't see it.
Like that Ariel Monsters character that has its eyeballs in its hands. That's what it looked like. Not in my house. What are you listening to?
I don't think so.
What is he singing about, Josh?
I don't think so.
Uh-uh. Give me it.
That's about...
Give me...
Drugs?
Give me it.
Drugs?
The Dope Show.
Drugs.
In my house.
Drugs.
A Lord's house.
No.
Uh-uh.
You know who runs this show? It's not dope. It's Jesus.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Jesus show.
I don't know what you're listening to.
Uh-uh.
But I don't like it.
Nope. Look at that. He doesn't even have any nipple. Where's his genitals even?
Tim, he's listening to the Dope Show. I don't know.
It's some guy, but he's got on lingerie.
Yeah, Cindy's right. No, Mom. It means dope like it's good. Like, we're at the good. This is so dope, Mom. It's slang. You don't get it.
I don't know. There's lots of goats with horns. They look satanic to me.
No, if she would have found the CD that I had... Well, before that.
Oh, dude.
It would have been bad.
Oh, I'm telling.
I had that Manson CD with Lunchbox on it, and on the cover, he was like, had like the bloody mouth. I had that, and I had a Nine Inch Nails Sin single, but I had to hide them.
That's
Tam
it.
Tam.
You're grounded.
Tam Tam found out that I brought devil music in there.
You're
house?
Not. Guess who's not going to the fair with their friends now?
Uh-uh.
Well, I don't think so.
Uh-huh, joke's on you. I got no friends. Nobody invited me. Boom.
I'm not going to the fair.
I'll be in my room.
Eat it. Gotcha.
Nobody likes me. As I have Cody here, a theme park enthusiast.
Hello.
I turn to you as Gravely Fruit Farm in the UK is under fire for what is being called a distasteful ride.
Oh, no. I like that. I like their name.
Gravely Fruit Farm?
Gravely Fruit Farm.
The Gravely Fruit Farm. Here's the ride, Cody. I don't know if I show you yet or describe it. I'll describe it.
Okay.
So you would go to the ride.
Yep.
And it's the Titanic. And the ship is flat. And you board the Titanic. Okay?
Okay.
Now you and all your friends are on the Titanic. And then a piston and then shoots it, one end of the Titanic up, and you slide out the Titanic.
And then it arrives at its location, and we get off it, and it was not that much fun.
No, it does this. If you're watching in Twitch,
oh my god,
it elevates one end, sending passengers and ride enthusiasts to padded mats below.
I feel like I've seen those
the inflatable slides.
Like,
I've seen
that had the Titanic, but it's not like what too soon.
That's what I'm wondering.
125 years ago or whatever the hell. I don't know. I made it 1900. I don't think it was then.
Well, it was like, what was it, 1918 or something? 1912.
Yeah, that's long enough to where I don't think anyone's going to get offended.
So right? Does that mean there'll be like 9/11 rides someday?
I don't know about that.
But why? If you can make fun of this tragedy,
I think
why not that tragedy?
It's different.
Because they're British.
No, there were Americans and stuff on there.
There were, yeah, there was everybody.
But no, I think it's just the way it happens. You know what I mean? This is like, you know, the thing goes up and where it's distasteful to some, but I don't think it's the same.
People were posting, "I'm sorry, but this is one of the most distasteful, disrespectful, and strange interactions for my children."
It's weird.
It's weird.
Because what do you just slide down? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you just slide down?
Like you see that piston? Like right on the bottom of it?
Yeah.
You get in a flat boat.
Yeah.
And then it elevates it so you slide out of the Titanic.
But into what? A pool of water?
No, padded mats.
Oh, okay. So it's just
38
boring.
Degree water. Yeah, and you right. See how long you can float in it
you
for.
You gotta swim to the shore. No, I mean,
honestly, I think they could have got away with it if they didn't put Titanic on the boat. Is that weird? Like, if you just said, like...
They probably.
If you didn't put Titanic on this, and you're like... Yeah. And you didn't make it look like the Titanic, and you're just like, capsized boat ride!
Right. Yeah.
You could probably get away with it.
It'd be weird, and I wouldn't go on it, but... Yeah. Yeah.
They insist they're not making a joke of the tragedy. Manager explained they'd initially renamed the ride, but ultimately decided to change it back after considerably more people... urge them not to cave to the woke brigade.
See, when you do stuff for like that, though, like...
I mean, that's just stupid. Anytime anybody says the word woke, I know I'm having a conversation with a moron.
Well, because you're also not showing them, like, I'll show those woke sons of bitches.
Yeah, like,
yep,
what?
You got them.
You got us.
You got them.
You made a ride.
But, yeah, no, yeah, make it pirate-themed.
Yeah, that you could have got away with it then.
Because the shipwreck is a thing. It's that one that goes up and... Or it used to be the pirate ship. But you could do that and then...
Love that ride.
Have it be doing that and then have it like, oh, no, we're getting attacked.
Love
and
that
then
ride.
It starts to... It stops where it is. And, you know, then you do all that.
I know, they could have done it in a way...
Yeah.
...that wasn't offensive to people.
But, I mean, I'm not...
I'm not even that mad about it.
I'm pretty woke,
and I'm not mad about this.
I get how it's insensitive, but it's not, I know
what you're saying. It's been 112.
Nobody's sitting around going, oh, it's Titanic Remembrance Day. Moment of silence.
And like anybody who's survived the Titanic is long gone.
I think they're dead, right? Either way, I see how it's insensitive,
but
make it a pirate ship, and we're all fine.
Yeah. Like, just interview us, and we'll help you. We'll help you. The butter has arrived. As we announced at the beginning of the show today, there is 800 pounds of butter at the Great New York State Fairgrounds right now.
And they're already done.
They did it.
That's it.
We announced this year's butter sculpture. It's going to be, they're going to leave it in a block, and it will be a data center to encapsulate everything. It's about 2026. I think data centers have been a big thing.
Perfect.
It's right there in the middle of the dairy building. It's just a big block. They're going to turn on very loud fans, so you can't really hear each other talking there.
They got rid of that whole metal case that they got rid of.
Milk tastes a little weird because we don't know what the data center's doing to the milk and the cows.
Vendors are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Those are now parking spots.
All parking. Each door has 3 flock cameras.
Yep.
So it's going to be a great butter sculpture. I look forward to seeing it.
I can't wait.
Look forward to seeing it. Cody. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
To the legend.
Well,
a new member.
A little bit me.
Of what they call the Spotify Billions Club. That is when your song has over 1 billion plays on Spotify.
Okay.
Equaling, and I might be off on this number a little bit. I think Spotify then pays the artists $11 off the billion plays, I think.
What do you mean? Like everything
it's a
over?
Joke. They don't pay anybody. They are terrible about paying artists.
Say, could see them giving like $5.
No, Snoop Dogg was pissed because he got like a billion plays and he made like $46,000 off of it. You're like, all right.
Sorry.
It's Spotify. Spotify kind of sucks, but they do keep track of their Billions Club.
Yep.
We have a new member of the Billions Club, Cody. I love this song so much. Her highest charting song ever, and it came like 30 years after her debut.
Oh.
Oh, we got her in the studio!
I'm gonna call.
How do you feel about being in the Billions Club?
I'm kind of exhausted. I've been partying for days.
Oh, have you?
When you're in the Billionaire Club. Let's listen to my song, huh? You keep pushing I don't know the word.
Okay,
guys, we're here. We did it.
Cher, you sound great. Cher, you sound fantastic.
I'm so good.
How do you feel about this debut?
I'm overcome with emotion.
The talking to your auto pitch mic.
I'm overcome with emotion. I never thought the day would come. What about the Billionaire's Club?
You want to play with it? Talk to me, Cher. Talk to me, Cher. What?
The little squeaky voice.
That's you, Cher. Listen to you.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Give me the microphone.
I'm sorry, I can't. I didn't expect
it. You can't stand your voice, Cher.
You can handle it, Cher.
Just sits like a mouse.
Do you believe in life after love?
I do love this song.
I do. I love this song. If you want a good audiobook to listen to Cher's biography. It's a great story. She's so fantastic.
She still looks great.
She still looks great. I don't know how she's doing it. She looks great.
Yeah. No, but this is my least favorite.
Over a billion plays on Spotify, baby.
I'm so happy.
What's everybody saying? They hate this song? Not my favorite Cher song.
No, I think this is
I can't stand this. I swear it was played every other song on 93Q. I think it was. Yeah,
this is like everyone's least favorite song of Cher.
Oh, love it. Oh.
And I might be wrong, but I believe this is her biggest charting song ever.
Yeah, this is her biggest song
ever. Even after like all the stuff in the 60s, you know?
Yeah. That was Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher. And then she did that. Oh, she did that other song, though, where she was just showing her full labia on that aircraft carrier. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I'm trying to think of a picture, but you mean, she went and performed.
She just had her labius majora out.
She's
on
like,
the. Oh, my God, it was crazy.
Check it out, boys. Here's what you're fighting for.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you're fighting for. Here's what you're fighting for, boys.
Here's what you're fighting for.
Yeah, this is a way better song.
Yeah.
Way better song.
Front way.
She's just dressed in electrical tape.
She's like, I'll just make this on the plane on the way over.
She's like, watch how hot I still am here. Yep. Look at this.
My legs are so long.
She did have great stems in the video, yeah.
Long legs.
Cher, were you on an actual aircraft carrier when you did that?
Yes, I was.
You were? Okay.
It was a real aircraft carrier. That's what I said. This is what you're fighting for, boys.
When you come back shoreside, you're going to see me, boys.
I salute you.
With her son playing guitar in this?
He just didn't look at my genitals.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm reading that Pete Hegseth is denying Cher any food or toiletries on that aircraft character. Terrible, terrible, terrible. They run out.
Her green room had nothing in it. And his leftover Jack bottles. I don't think I know any Cher.
I think I know two Cher songs.
I was going to say, man, I don't know anything else. I'm sure there's stuff we know from, like, movies and such.
So many things.
Sure, she did her own albums for... Like, didn't she do her own? Wasn't there her own mask that she did?
Oh, there when wasn't she did that the, mask movie?
There wasn't the... Not the Jim Carrey. There was the one that she did, right? So I'm sure
no,
for like that...
No, yeah, with Rocky Dennis.
Yeah,
she
did that
Dennis movie.
I'm sure she did the whole album for that, I'm sure.
I got this one, boys.
Obviously, showgirl Tammy with a great reference on the tech side. This is an all-time banger. 1971. I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama used to... You'll know the hook.
I was going to say, who did it after them that I would know this from? And didn't the two of them do I Got You, Babe?
Oh, yeah, I Got You, Babe was
the biggest one. We know that one. Jealousy says this is her best.
You don't know this? Cher, you don't know your own song?
This was a long time ago, babe. Been partying hard for 40 years.
Well, you've had an illustrious career. I can't expect you...
Can't remember all the hits.
I can't expect you to. You're right.
So much. Think Pete Rose remembers all 2000.
Congratulations, Cher.
No, did somebody else do this that I would know it?
Well,
from,
Garrett
or?
Has a point that Nirvana used to do, but you're not going to know Nirvana's cover.
No, I
would
know that.
I don't know. Did somebody else cover Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves?
That's what this is called? No, I don't think I've ever heard this.
I think it's probably been sampled a bunch of times. That'd be a good hip-hop sample, probably.
Yeah, that little whatever in the back.
Yeah. Anyways, congratulations, Cher. I hope that you celebrate today.
Thank you.
What do you have planned? Anything special?
I've been partying so hard since the big news came out.
Oh, all right. You may take the day off, maybe?
Maybe. And then we'll get those numbers back up over maybe 2 billion.
Ooh! Get the show on demand wherever you get your favorite podcast. Just type in the show K-Rock or to go to theshow.fm and boom, there's all of our links.
That's right there.
You get too busy and you can't listen to us all morning. How dare you? But, okay. Okay, your kid's sick. Whatever.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Oh, that's my bad.
Can't make time for us. All right, fine.
Oh, sorry that strep is going around.
Let's check in on what's going around. Go ahead. We now go to the screen.
I do that. I haven't looked in a while.
Well,
I like to see.
The what's going around on News Channel 9?
Just to that way if, you know.
I can't because
not,
then my. Then
not
my,
to josh it up, but then if I'm like.
Dude.
My, I don't think these are, what are these called again? I'm blanking. The sides of my...
Your adenoids?
My adenoids do feel a little puffy. I'm like, oh, it's going around.
Yeah, I can't watch the what's going around because then I do, like you, I spiral and I start to really panic.
Like,
oh, I got that, I got all that.
I got the diarrhea.
But I'm trying this new move. I'm calling it 90. I'm trying this new thing. When it comes to anxiety...
Okay.
If I can preach my therapy to my fellow anxious warriors out there.
Gotcha.
When it comes to anxiety, you got it. When those thoughts show up, it's junk mail. You got to get rid of it. And all of my anxiety comes from health, death, fear of death, getting sick, all this stuff.
Yep.
So what I'm trying to do is retrain my brain and just tell my brain that I'm going to live till I'm 90. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to trick my brain. So when my brain starts going, dude, you're going to be dead here pretty soon. I go, nope, 90.
See, that's my problem is the reverse with
what?
That, where usually I'm really good at deflecting that. Well, those last years, but where you can't deflect with our stress from all of our whatnot.
Yeah.
But
yeah, right.
With that, I'm usually the opposite, almost a detriment, where not that I care so little about not dying, but I don't.
You don't think
ever
about
think
it.
About it.
It's and all
it
I think about.
And it doesn't bother me ever, so I'm never... You know what I mean? I tend to take things with my body a little lighter than I probably should.
Because
I'm not thinking.
Walk around with 100-degree fever for a week. Yeah, you do.
Because I'm like, I'll fight it off.
Yeah, dude. Nah, I ain't the same as
that's
that.
That's what my body's made for.
Uh-huh.
And then what also sucks, again, to my detriment, is then it does.
What?
And
it does
gives
work,
me
I know.
It gives me just the littlest I bit know. Of validation where in my head I'm like, you just dodged a bullet probably with that one.
Right? I know.
Cheers
but it worked
to you.
Out. It's, you're getting
right,
all
and then I get
out.
That just that little bit, and I'm like, see?
All right, ouch, ouch. I wish you well, man. You're going to be all right. Everybody's going through the same thing. I don't
we
know why.
You. We're here.
We're here. We'll keep you going. Mm-hmm. Your poor mother's texting on the chat as well. That
yep.
She, that's
I know,
all
I
it's doing is by him ignoring his fever and saying it'll all work out, and then it does work out. He feels like, oh, I guess it does work out.
Look how strong my immune system is.
Yeah, look how strong I am. big strong boy.
I mean, we did eat and play in a lot of dirt as kids. I mean,
so I'm like trying to like retrain my brain to be like, no, man, you're gonna live to your 90, and all these medical ailments I worry about, I already have one. So maybe that's my one.
That's true.
I'm like, dude, you've had ulcerative colitis for 20 years.
And that's where...
That's your one.
And
you're dealing with it, and it's working out.
One.
It's a serious one. Autoimmune disease.
It's not like just, you know, I have gas.
I do have that, too.
Well, but it's added with that, so...
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Speaking of health anxiety, these stories just freak me out, but it's all right. I'm going to be fine. 90. I'm going to live till I'm 90.
You're going to be pooping in your pants till you're 100.
I'm already doing that. I started early pooping in my pants.
That's what I mean, till you're 100.
Oh, I got 50 more years of it.
A lot of pooping left.
54-year-old woman collapsed at a grocery store on July 26th. An unidentified bystander performed chest compressions, saved her life. Paramedics arrived.
Oh.
She's taken away.
Oh.
She comes back, find her car.
Oh, no.
Received multiple tickets.
Saying a lot of no's this morning.
Oh, really? Paramedics confirmed that she was technically dead.
Oh.
But because her car was on the lot for 5.5 hours, first of all,
what?
If I just technically died, I ain't getting my car in 5 hours. I'll be back in a week. I need to process some stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That person was like, oh, I'm not dead. All right. Let's get out of here.
All right, good. I got to get my car. I got stuff to do.
Like, no, sit down.
You're exactly right. Garrett's right. I survived the consumption.
That's true.
I had the consumption.
You had a bit of the consumption.
Tuberculosis. These are called tuberculosis, the consumption.
You had a bit of the consumption.
So she comes back. Car's got all these tickets on it. $80 fine. Don't worry.
You're fine.
The management group said, okay, fine's only $30.
All right, so you died.
Cold-blooded.
Half off.
You know what?
Half off, what do you think?
You technically died in our parking lot.
Yep.
Fine, $30. Just give us 30.
You're welcome.
Give us 30. Hey.
Hey.
Carton of milk, too. Help yourself.
Yep.
2%, 1%, skim, whatever you want.
What do you think? What do you think about that?
You good with that?
Oh, man.
Thanks. Because of the backlash, the grocery store has since voided her parking fine, so it did work out.
Which is also crazy, like, where is that you have to pay to park in a grocery store?
Some people, like, maybe like in busier cities, they don't want you taking up their spots.
But can you even, I get it, but like, can you even imagine that? Like,
and they're keeping such a close eye on it?
Like, yeah, that the grocery store saw somebody, what, get taken away in an ambulance?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like,
whose car is that?
They left this person's car there?
Go get that.
All right, well, we'll wait a minute, but then we're going to start ticketing. Like, that's gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of gross people out there. But don't worry, it's only $30 now.
You're
fine.
You're fine.
Do you know what this morning is?
Tuesday morning?
Nope.
Well, yeah.
This morning, August 18th, is the anniversary of the day of Woodstock that wasn't supposed to happen, 1969, August 18th, 1969. Nice. If you don't know the story, Woodstock was 15th through the 17th. That was it. But Jimi Hendrix insisted on playing last, and everything was running late, nothing was going right. So on the morning of the 18th, Jimi Hendrix came out as the final performer.
That's so weird.
And played this.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah.
Just woke everyone up at 9 o'clock and was like, I'm going to do this.
Anybody who was still on the fairgrounds, probably tripping ball sacks.
Yeah, if you were still there that morning when it was already over.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think? And it's crazy when we know what bands ask for now compared to what bands asked for then. How much do you think Jimi Hendrix performed at Woodstock for?
$100.
No, it's 18,000. But still, I mean, back then, that's a lot.
Back then, that's crazy. Now, you know, but yeah, wow, that 18 grand?
Jimi Hendrix played for 18,000. Credence played for 10.
Really?
Jefferson Airplane, 7,500. Canned Heat and The Who were about 6 grand.
That's crazy, though, the difference.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, $5,000. Grateful Dead, $2,500.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man, it's cool, bro.
Santana played for $750.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And I saw Jimi Hendrix's house in San Francisco.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a big red house that he lived in over there on Haight-Ashbury. They all got flown in on the mud pit. I always loved that documentary, that original 1969 Woodstock documentary. Did you ever watch that?
So I've seen pieces of many. Like, we even watched one in that music class in college.
Yeah, that was probably
one. We watched, it was like a two-hour.
Yeah, it was like a box set. My buddy Carol, his parents had it, and we would just put it on as background shows, and it was just hours and hours of this.
Nuts.
Tom says that. Wow. All right, so Jimmy Hendrix got paid big then.
That makes sense.
That made big then, yeah.
Because you think about people now getting, you know, $1 million
to come whatever. To a 90-minute set. It's different times.
Yep.
Can I borrow your fuel CD, bro? Can I burn your fuel CD, bro?
I got a couple.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. This is the show, theshow.fm. For links and information, we'd love to hear from you. And I bring up CDs because in news that I didn't even know they were still around, Columbia House is shutting down next month.
No, they weren't.
Now, for those of you who are not olds.
No way.
Like the rest of us. There was another one, wasn't there? There was Columbia House, and then there was another place that gave you the CDs. What was the other one?
Oh, I don't remember. I just remember Columbia House.
BMG, maybe?
Maybe them. So, but I just remember Columbia House being like, no.
Children, have
us a dollar. We'll give you 50 CDs.
Children, bring your Nike slides and Crocs here. Let me tell you about the 1900s. Somebody, multiple people actually, thought they could run a business by offering you 12 CDs for a penny.
But.
And then in the fine print, it would always say, but eventually you do got to pay for these CDs, but none of us ever did.
Nope.
And back in the 1900s, I can only speak for myself, is that Kurt Cobain, who lived on Ennis Ave in Pennville.
There you fill it out.
I filled out many various names of people who did not exist.
Yep, that's the move.
And I got my 12 CDs, and I never paid a dime.
They were just...
And like, I don't know how they ever, I don't know how they stayed in business.
They were so trusting for whatever reason. And maybe it was a front and they didn't care about the money they were getting from that. They just needed some business to launder their, it was Columbia House.
Yeah.
They just sold coke.
I didn't know, maybe that's what it was. Maybe I just did it, even at 12. I felt like I had enough of an understanding of business to be like, how does this work?
And how do you send them a penny?
Yeah.
You just put a penny in an envelope?
Well, because in the small print, it was the penny rolls into what you always owe us, but I don't exist. You sent CDs to Kurt Cobain.
Sorry.
He's not here. He moved.
That guy's dead.
He's dead.
Good luck.
The company's website announced it is shutting down September 15th. Now, as JoJo was saying in chat, they filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy 11 years ago, citing the rise of digital media and streaming. Or maybe you were giving us all hundreds of CDs and not taking money.
Yeah, maybe you were way too trusting of an 11-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, this guy's good for it.
Nah, Napster did this to us. Nuh-uh. Who? They didn't.
Who? Billy?
The child?
Billy here? Right there playing with a yo-yo?
He'll get us.
Yeah, he told me if I get him 12 CDs, he'll eventually buy 100 CDs at regular price.
Yeah.
So, 11-year-old Billy.
That I think, I gotta ask.
Bro.
I know there's lots of you listening to this stupid show right now. Did any of you ever pay Columbia House what you owed them? Did maybe your parents feel like, oh no, we gotta pay for this?
I don't remember, because I remember doing it.
Nobody in chat ever did. Somebody has to be like, yeah, my dad ended up writing him a check or whatever. They started in the 50s. I guess an experiment by Columbia Records tried to capture a share of the record buying public by getting them to pay a membership fee in exchange for being sent new records.
No.
That's way ahead of their time.
Yeah, and... You really had not that many other options.
Mm-hmm.
you know, record stores were just starting to kind of, you know, get all these CDs and everything in. It was still, you know, cassettes and such.
Text line says, yes, I did. We paid Columbia House and whatever the other one was, too. Suckers!
But some people probably put the regular info, and they were probably getting hounded, and they're like, you're the one we know all the real info. We're gonna ruin your credit. Sorry, you owe us.
The company changed hands a few times. All right, so by 1996,
here we go.
Columbia House had 16 million members. So like JoJo was saying, somebody was paying this membership.
Insane.
If they hit $1.4 billion in revenue... Sales declined through the 90s and 2000s as big box retailers grew, internet, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were still happening. I didn't know they were still open. I don't know what they were doing nowadays, but just, they're going to stop doing it.
It was just a data center.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be now.
Man.
So there were people just paying that membership fee and getting their cassettes. Showgirl list. I loved record stores. I paid for all my cassettes.
Yeah, it wasn't until like a year or two later. I remember starting all, you know, getting the CDs and all that in Columbia House. But then in like a couple years was the like media play and all those places kind of popping up where you're like, whoa.
That is true.
Aisles and aisles and aisles of CDs.
He's right. There was an era of time where it was kind of like... You had to go to a record store like Knuckleheads in North Syracuse, or we have a record theater over on Route 31.
Yep. It's the same as you know, Blockbusters. Like, you had to go.
You had to go.
And rent these things, or else, you know, what are you going to do?
And definitely not shoplift. Did I tell you about the thing, or did we have the thing, the drumstick ice cream? Did we have that together, or did I tell you about that?
I did it on Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of, because I had it over break.
Either the last one or the one before the last one.
Yeah, I liked it. Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I liked that the kind of coconut, like, outside,
and the shape of it and stuff.
Yep. No, it was very good. I was very impressed with that.
They should do those with, like, Frosted Flakes or something, like a different, or a Crunch Coat or something.
Yes, no, that'd be really good. Just that, the price point. I don't know if you bought them in the 3-pack.
No, I forget. Well, I grabbed one and ate it.
Because it was, I don't know if it was on sale, but it was $11.99 for 3 of them.
Oh, like, that's too much. Because I grabbed, wife got me the Big Witches for my birthday. Cookie Witches.
Those are so good.
The Big Witches, buddy.
Like the Burn Dairy ones?
Yeah.
Those are.
And you know what's
insane.
A sleeper?
Same.
I prefer just the regular Cookie Witch over the Big Witch. The Big Witch is too much ice cream. But the sleeper, and you said it on here before, is that Black Raspberry.
Oh.
The Black Raspberry Cookie Witch, dude.
That one is so good, man.
That's the sleeper.
Yep. Yep. And I also usually just get the regular, but if I do get the big big boy, you know what the move is? I let it thaw just a little bit, and then I go around with a spoon. And I got myself a couple scoops of soft ice cream.
The Big Witch I ate with a spoon so I could do a little cookie piece with the ice cream. Mm. Yep. Mint one's pretty good, Katie says.
Yeah, that mint one slaps,
I do like
too. Because it's... The raspberry one you can also get in the shortbread cookie, but...
Yeah, I haven't had that yet.
Oh,
it's in our freezer. I haven't tried it yet.
That is so good.
You like that better than the chocolate chip?
Depends on what I'm in the mood for, but it just slaps with that black raspberry. But when they do it with the brownie cookie, that's like that, the mint one and the other black raspberries sometimes. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I like a good brownie witch.
I also had Voodoo Donuts out west. Have you seen them before?
I've seen them, but I've never actually seen them or had them. Are they good?
They're fine. My wife has a really interesting theory about the West Coast. Because we've eaten all, like...
You've had the things.
We've had the things.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody raves about the things out there, like the Voodoo Donuts, the Jack in the Box, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we all go eat it, and we're like, yeah, it's all right. And my wife's theory is that everyone out there is so healthy... That when they do get something unhealthy, it blows their minds.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to all this sugar and sweets and salts and all that
stuff. Very healthy area.
Yeah, so I think that's what it is. Voodoo Donuts was fine. It wasn't bad.
And not that we do this or anything, but I think it also when people, because a lot of people are like, nah, Syracuse. What's here? What's even here? Mm-hmm. And then you go somewhere and you have all that and you're like, oh, damn, we got
everything.
Quite a vast array of products that are very good.
I tell you, I'm an adventurer that goes out and reports back on my adventures, and we are very blessed with all of our food right here.
Yeah.
Jealousy saying Jack in the Box sucks. It was fine. It was fine, but it didn't blow my balls out of my pants.
No, that's I want to try them just because we don't have them, so it'd be, I'm
what
curious.
What did I say to you? Because I thought it was like a Wendy's burger,
yep,
right?
Yep, because I was going to say, the same as when I had Shake Shack, and I was like, oh my God, this is Five Guys.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to learn. Like, yeah. I even though that there's still mixed reviews, I'm definitely trying that Cane's when it opens because I've heard about it for so long. I want to try your chicken tendy.
Yeah, and you're a tendy aficionado, so they got a lot to live up to there.
I want to see what you got.
I like going around and seeing what we got other foods in the country.
Because then you get the appreciation for here.
You really do.
I'm sure there's some spots down there that are crazier, but when I came back from Texas, I was like, I'll hold our barbecue up against everything I had there.
Yeah.
I'm sure
we got good barbecue here,
but we're very lucky.
Yeah, In-N-Out, I was indifferent. I had a bad experience in In-N-Out because it was so crowded. They're always so crowded.
I always forget that's the animal style one, right?
That's the animal style one, but it was so overwhelming because there was so many people in there. I don't have an accurate review. That's
why I left Shake Shack the first time, bro.
Too many people.
I got out of my car and went, that's a little packed. I opened that door and it had like two people deep at that chaos. Yeah. And I went, no,
out here. I get it.
I get it.
Nah, it makes me scared. Other side of this, we'll get into your 90s. Nah, we're cooking, bud. Mm. We're back. We're cooking with gas. We'll play a little golf.
Because you got toots.
I got toots, pretty
soon. A couple weeks away. We're playing football soon.
Oh, we are going to be football. I mean,
couple weeks.
Yeah, we all agree. I'm glad Chelsea Green's getting this little pop right now. I like her.
Also, though, I forgot.
And her husband's a dork, and I like dorks.
I love
him. He loves all the toys.
Because we were on break when I watched it. I'll watch it, but I officially am against that show.
Unreal?
Against it.
Tell me why.
I am Paul Heyman of, let's just ask me yes or no questions, because it's, I don't.
Why? What turned you off to it?
I'd never, in all these years of watching wrestling, I had never seen, I know that they talk about their match, and they go over it all week, blah, 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 and they practice whenever they do it, but I never, ever seen them actually practice a match the way that they had Cena and I don't remember now who it was, Punk or somebody.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, turn the camera off!
That really upset
me. Turn the camera off!
Yeah.
And I get what they're doing, but
I know.
And then it bothered me when
purists hate it. You're allowed to hate it.
Because I like the show. I like to see.
Sure.
But some of it I'm like, oh, and then when they had Liv Morgan say, hi, I'm forgetting everything, her name. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I play Liv Morgan on TV. I was like, say it like that.
Yeah,
you're Liv Morgan, the character.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I see. I
not
get your point.
Not that you're playing someone on TV.
I get your point, man. The part that I hate about that, and I love to watch how the circus is made, and I view wrestling as a circus, and I love the circus.
It absolutely is, yeah.
So when the circus comes to town and all the characters, I love it. I do not love when the match is over, and then they show me them hugging backstage.
And they all go back
and
celebrate the match.
When they're back in Gorilla, and I hate that. I hate that. That I don't like.
Yep. No, again, it's one of those where I'm like, no, we used to go outside.
Like, you lose friendships over this.
Well, you used to go outside the War Memorial, and the guys would have to ride in their heel, whatever, because you couldn't see two guys riding together. They're friends, and I'm running them hug.
Undertaker didn't break gimmick for 30 years.
Right? Yeah. It's still real.
See, and Mother of Cats, because Mother of Cats in chat says she likes that part. Because you know what else? As much as I just said I hate it, I hate conflict so much. I like seeing that everybody's happy at the end.
Yep.
As lame as that is, I like seeing, okay, so they don't really hate each other.
Yeah,
now just kiss. You're in your underpants, boys.
You're
just
fine.
Kiss
now
a little
kiss
bit.
A little. No, that's it. Again, I like it. I get why it's so popular. I've leaned to the Paul Heyman side of, just so you know, because that's probably my favorite part of this, because he was dead serious.
He hates it. I get it. He's that school.
I hate this show.
He hates the show.
I hate
and
this
he should.
Show.
He should, but I know the exact scene you're talking about when it's John Cena.
And
even
actually
I felt like,
doing the things, and I'm like, I remember just watching with wide eyes going, no,
which
you
is,
can talk about all this, don't show me the match.
Which is funny, because isn't Cena infamous for just talking so loud in the ring?
He's a big talker.
if you sit close enough, you can hear his moves anyways?
You can definitely hear him.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I could, again, see why that show is absolutely as popular as it is. Although, every Triple H, he gets very handsy with the ladies. Like, he does big, huge.
Yeah, I don't.
Jumping hugs with.
I don't love Triple H in this show.
Every time they jump up and like wrap their legs around him to hug him, I'm always like,
oh. Ew, yeah, you know.
Oh, all right, that's okay though.
Yeah, I don't like. I don't like people needing to be anointed by their boss.
Oh, that's big, and that's one
and
of the things they still
do. I hate that part of the
show
where it's like, I've got to get my pointing photo at Triple H. I hate sucking up
the
bosses. Yep. And I don't, that's the one part I don't like. Like, we as humans are supposed to say F our boss, right? We're not supposed to like our bosses. That's why I love Stone Cold.
That's
he
what I'm
hated
say. That's
his boss.
The biggest angle in the history of WWE is Austin versus McMahon.
When all these people go back and suck up to the boss. Oh, I hate that. That's the part I hate.
Especially sometimes when you see, and I get it, when you don't, you know, if you burn a bridge after it's burnt, you still see if there's a little, you know, room there to walk across it. But like the CM Punk and Triple H stuff, like, they hate each other.
Yeah.
The Seth Rollins, when Punk left, there's a little interview he did with somebody where he was being dead serious and he said he hates Phil's, I don't know if he swears, he hates Phil's guts. Good, I'm glad he's gone. Stay gone forever.
Yeah.
And he was being dead serious. And then they show up and punch each other in their underpants.
Yeah, and they got to get along. And then this
it's crazy.
This season has the whole wife angle where Becky Lynch and then, what's her name? Dude, Punk
AJ.
Wife, AJ Lee. Yep. So
that, see, because I like some of that to see some of the how they do it and whatever, but.
I know.
Don't practice the match.
Radio side, you'll get the 90s at 9 gaming. We'll play a little golf. Come join us, twitch.tv/the show or the show.fm.